From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Man Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Man Cometh!
If you have been scanning around the radio dial or iTunes looking for a bit of nerd inspiration and stimulation, well, baby, you have just rolled a critical hit on a natural 20. You like that?
I do, I do. You know what I found the other day? I was listening to some old shows. Every start of the show, it's you saying something smart, it's me laughing.
Hey,
it works.
It's talent. What
can
I tell you?
We have got an action-packed show tonight.
Yes, the self-congratulatory Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Trent here, Mark over there. What is in this action-packed show?
We are going to talk about International Tabletop Day, which is this Saturday.
Woohoo!
We have got an event to behold, and we're going to talk about the things that won't happen there that you might expect to happen. We're also going to talk about pimping out our games, what we can do to make them stand out, what we can do to make them more fun.
Is that what you meant by pimping? Oh, okay, sorry. I'm just going to have to rewrite part of the show.
Okay. And we're going to talk about the sort of food that is great for gaming nights and the sort of food that isn't.
Let's give things a bit of a kickstart, shall we? Some classic Black Sabbath with Ronnie James Dio, Neon Nights. On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, it's Black Sabbath and the shortest man in metal with the biggest voice. He invented the horns, the throw on the horns.
Yeah.
Look, and that, boys and girls, is what a heavy metal vocalist is supposed to sound like.
My friend, when I was in high school, got given a Dio tape. And he played one song, he gave it back to his friend and said, "Oh, I can't sleep with that in the house, it's too scary."
Look, that's from 1980, I don't know, something or other. And that is back in the day when people thought that heavy metal was going to make you kill yourself and that playing Dungeons and Dragons would lead to devil worship. And, of course, here we are in 2014 and both of those things have been proved conclusively correct.
Right.
And, of course, we are here to talk tabletop gaming on The Dice Man Cometh and what we've been playing lately. Mark, what's been hitting your table, buddy?
Look, I'll tell you, I came across a new game at the recent Hobart Game Society event in Kingston, Russian Railroads. Now, I hear you say, oh, my God, a train game.
You just hear me thinking it.
Yep.
A train game. A freaking train game.
Okay, well, guess what? This train game, it has no trains.
What?
It's actually not a train game. It's actually a worker placement game, but it's not about the trains. It's actually about the tracks.
So this is like Russian railroad tycoons trying to cross, build the Trans-Siberian?
A bit. So you're actually sort of like constructing rail lines, by which I mean you're moving your worker to do stuff to score points and score other points.
This is sounding really fantastic.
Look, it's very much a worker placement game. It's very Euro. It's a relatively new game. It only came out, I think, halfway through 2013, designed by a couple of guys, Helmut Olli and Lonnie Orgler, and by Z-Man Games. Fantastic production values. Some of our listener may have seen the pictures that I placed up on the Dice Man Cometh page.
Okay.
It does look fantastic.
Z-Man Games do churn out a good production.
Yeah, that's right. But really it's about extending these tracks. There's three tracks from Moscow to Vladivostok, from Moscow to St. Petersburg, and from Moscow to Kiev. Although I guess that train's not running anymore.
Oh, no, not if Vladimir Putin has
anything to say with it. But you're extending the track and you're sort of improving the track. So you start off with this little black piece of rail. It's got these really nice, the little wooden meeples are actually I section like a railway track. And you start with a black one, and you've got a grey one, and a brown one, and a silver one, and a white one. And so you're upgrading your track, and it starts off your black track is worth zip. But it moves across your length of track, and it activates different special abilities to let you bring these new types of track on board. So it's quite novel. It's not something I've seen before. It could very easily be called Russian circus performers, or Russian tea ladies, or Russian invading the Ukraine. Like, there's nothing in it about trains.
No.
Really? It's a totally pasted on theme, but it's actually a really fun game. And you know what? I won.
Okay, that helps.
The first game that I played against a couple of people that have played it a couple more times, I won.
You know, while you were talking about Russian railroads there, I wasn't really listening to a word you
I
were
could
saying.
Tell.
Just what was happening in my head was from Wallace and Gromit, when Gromit's putting down the track while he's riding on the train. That's really all I was thinking of. I've been playing lately. Well, actually, nothing new's hit my table. You know how you go through little phases where you've got no money and your wife won't let you spend any?
No, and I don't know that at all.
You can't buy anything new, and so you go back. You always promise yourself, I've got to actually play the games I've got a bit more often, and I've been doing a bit of that lately, which is fantastic. I had a couple of more cracks at Flashpoint Fire Rescue, the cooperative firefighting game. There's an expansion for that called Urban Structures, which gives you a new board, a couple more buildings that you can set light to, and try and drag all the dogs and the cats. And
so you can justify expansion purchases, but you can't justify new game purchases. Is that where it sits?
But perhaps I might have just snuck this one in the house. Urban Structures introduces a brownstone, the classic New York apartment building, and also a high-rise building, and they are devilishly hard. And we've not beaten these things even once, but really does breathe new life into what is already a great game.
Wow!
And Flashpoint's not going anywhere. You know
what happens when the plane hits the high rise?
Is
it too early?
Now, hang on. You've already made jokes about the current situation in Russia, right? Just calm down. Okay? Thank you. Other games we've been playing, Village, which is the game where you kill off members of your family. Where you kill off generations of your family to get into the Village history books.
I've been waiting for the idiot expansion to come out for that.
The what?
The idiot expansion.
Yes. This show's already taken a turn for the macabre. Oh, and look, speaking of another controversial game that I've been playing lately, Archipelago.
Racist!
The most racist board game we know.
Yes.
The game of colonial exploitation of some vague, developing South American, Caribbean country that's never named.
Actually, the most hilarious thing about that particular game of Archipelago was that we played it for, the short game, of course. Mm-hmm. We played for 3+ hours, and
the natives rose up
and devoured us.
And that's probably a just thing.
That's right.
You know, Archipelago, and we've talked about this on the show before, so I won't go into it right now, but it really is a game. You know, it still feels untamed. We always play on the short setting. That's 3 hours.
Yeah.
There's a medium-length setting. And
God knows what the long setting is.
I know. And the other thing I've been playing a bit of is Android Netrunner.
Oh, nice.
Which is my newest addiction. There are suggested starter decks that come with the basic set. And we've just been playing with those because I've been trying to teach a couple of people and get them on board. And I can well and truly say that there's at least three of us who are hooked.
Excellent.
Well and truly, and we are ready to start deck building now.
Oh, fantastic.
Mark, I'll see you later.
And Wallet, you'll see that later as well.
Well, I have bought, because instead of it being, we've talked about this before also.
Yeah,
the chapter pack things.
Yeah, what are they called, the data packs or something?
Instead of the random collectible card games. But they come out every single month.
Yeah.
You've got to buy another set if you want to keep up. I don't want to keep up.
Yeah.
I've got the first cycle, the first six sets. That's the Genesis pack. I'm not about to start playing in any tournaments or competitively anytime soon.
Although the thing with that is, the good model with that is as long as you're playing with people that are buying the same packs, then generally it's fine. It's when you start trying to play, as you said, in your local competition, and they've all got all three cycles and you've only got the first, that you start to struggle.
Yeah, well, this is what I've got to do now. I've got to convince the guys I've been teaching to play to actually go out and spend their money in the same frivolous, wasteful way that Trent has. This is the Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. If you want to learn how to play some of these games, you can get yourself along to an International Tabletop Day event this coming Saturday. We'll tell you about ours next.
And you're with the Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Mark and Trent. That was Day One by Toro Yimoir. We've got some exciting news coming up because we've got our International Tabletop Gaming Day.
A big day.
Happening.
A big one day.
This Saturday.
12 hours.
12 hours of power?
Well, it's actually 24 hours, of course, it being a full day, but 12 of those 24 hours, we will be hitting the tables hard.
Absolutely.
Yep, with our Tabletop Game Day event, 12 hours of gaming at the Lena Valley Community Hall in Hobart. Tabletop Game Day started last year.
Mm-hmm.
3,000 events last year in 64 countries. What's this all about? This is Will Wheaton, all right, who you might have wanted to... Well, you might be familiar with him and maybe wanted to punch him from... Star Trek The Next Generation, Wesley Crusher.
Yeah, the alt news group, Wesley Crusher, die.
He's all grown up now. He's got a beard. He's got a bit of a pot belly, shall we say.
And he's made a name for himself in a few TV shows, The Big Bang Theory, Leverage. What was that other geeky science fiction one where they were creating all sorts of crazy... inventions. Yeah.
He's also running International Tabletop Game Day. And it's this Saturday. So we've registered our event on the International Tabletop Game Day page. So you can find us on there. We're one of 80 events that are happening around Australia.
Wow.
And there's actually two in Tassie as well. Concurrently, Area 52 in the Hobart CBD are running their Tabletop Day extravaganza. Mm. So if you're in the city, you can swing in and check that out. If you're at a loose end on your Saturday night, or you're heading past Lena Valley, you can drop in and just try something. Hey, it's free. You know, well, I mean, we're saying gold coin donation to help us cover the cost of the hall for the day, but that's it.
And we'll have a big sign outside the door so you won't be able to drive past and miss it. And it's just a great opportunity if you've ever wondered, what are those guys talking about for an hour every Wednesday? come along and see. There will be all sorts of games there.
If you want to bring your own game. Are you hoping to play anything in particular?
Oh, look, I'm probably...
We've got 12 hours, so we can stretch out a bit, yeah?
I don't know. I'm probably more excited about meeting new people and introducing new people to games. Okay. Some of my old favourites.
Okay. Well, look, I'm hoping to actually get some of the longer games that you mentioned, Archipelago. I wouldn't mind playing a long game of that if we got 12 hours.
Actually, a zombie friend of mine, Carl, mentioned maybe a game of Twilight Struggle.
Ooh.
Which could sort of be stopped in case new people walk in and go and play a game and then gone back to maybe. So maybe it runs over the whole period.
Probably not a bad idea. Yeah. You can take a break from reenacting the Cold War. I want to play Warrior Knights as well.
I'm hesitant.
I mentioned Warrior Knights because, well, last week I mentioned playing the Game of Thrones board game, which is basically an area control game where, you know, you're taking over chunks of Westeros as part of, you know, one of the many dueling families.
Mm-hmm.
But it lacks that intrigue and the marriage element and the politics that come... Well, which is such a huge part of that series, The Songs of Ice and Fire. Warrior Knights is a fantasy medieval-themed board game that does bring that in.
Mm.
Magic is not a part of it.
Yeah. Dragons?
No, not even. Not even, but there is a house of assembly where politics happens. And look, come along, check it out. You don't have to play one of these big games. Just try something small. Maybe you're thinking, hey, I don't want to go in and hang out with those oafs. They're going to stink. There's going to be no girls there.
All those bearded men.
And they're all going to be talking their secret language. Maybe you're a little bit apprehensive. Mm. Maybe you've got some misconceptions like, are we all just going to be playing Monopoly?
Yeah.
Or is going to be some? Are we dressing up to play Dungeons and Dragons?
Are we?
No, of course not. Not this Saturday.
No.
So we thought we might try and address some of those misconceptions that people have about the hobby generally.
Yeah.
Should we do that next?
Absolutely. Okay. Look, we've still got a little bit of time. I did want to wrap up before we go to some music. Just, we had PJ with the great Nerd Purge on last week, and the Nerd Purge was on last weekend, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Just wanted a quick wrap-up to say what a great day it was. We got to meet a lot of the guys involved in the wargaming community, which we don't normally touch on. And, in fact, we're looking forward to potentially, in another couple of weeks, having Mike from Van Diemen's Wargames to come on and tell us all about this hobby that, I don't know, I know very little about. It is a fantastic looking hobby. Some of those models are pretty amazing.
Very expensive.
And look, we're probably going to talk about that sort of thing a little while with pimping your games out. But really, we look forward to seeing Mike. The Nerd Purge was a hit. I think they raised $800 or $900 for the local naval cadet unit, which was great. And we met some new people, some friendly new people. We had some new people come along and play games with us, which was fantastic.
And hopefully we'll do that again this Saturday for International Tabletop Game Day. If you want to come along but you don't know what to expect, stick around. We'll tell you more in a moment.
And now you can come and hang with us for the evening because we're going to spend the night together.
Oh, that's a great segue, Mark. Oh, no.
classic Rolling Stones track there, done by David Bowie. Not a bad version.
Never heard that before. That's like a complete deconstruction of
there
that.
There you go. It was actually quite good, wasn't it?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
One song out of 20 is not a bad effort, Mark.
I'm sure there was one other one you liked one day, but I can't remember what it was. So, look, we were talking about International Tabletop Gaming Day, people coming along playing games maybe for the first time.
Mm. Which we'd love, which, you know, that's what we do this
absolutely.
For.
And look, we know, we had a bit of a thread about it on the Hobart Game Society Facebook page a while back about what keeps people away. Now, a lot of people had very good reasons, you know, babies, jobs, no money, no transport, things like that.
All of which we accept.
Yeah, they're reasonable excuses, but sometimes I suspect there's other reasons that keep people away.
Yes, exactly. Some misconceptions about our hobby that we love so much. So let's address some of these one at a time, shall we? All right. Misconception number one, board gaming is just for kids.
We don't have very many kids at our nights at all, do we?
And yes, it's for kids, and what's your point?
Yeah.
Adults can enjoy that too. And in fact, I would even argue that adults need escapism even more than kids do.
That's right.
Right, at the end of a hard week, okay? What's better than trying to invade a foreign country?
With an adult beverage or two.
Exactly.
It just goes, they go so well together.
Board gaming is just chess and Monopoly. And hasn't been improved on since.
Mm.
Now, look, those are both... look, obviously in the case of chess, that's an ancient game and we're not trying to take anything away from that. But if you've ever looked at chess and thought, you know, this would probably be fun if we played it on multiple tiers like they did in the original Star Trek series, or maybe introduce some cards, or if the pieces were different colours, or, you know, themed with dragons or something like that, then you're our kind of player.
Yeah, that's right. Come along.
And as for Monopoly, well... maybe the less said about it, the better.
Look, one of the things I've always said about Monopoly is it's a great game for 15 or 20 minutes. The problem is your average game of Monopoly takes 2 to 3 hours.
It's also, what, 50-plus years old?
The 1930s, in the Great Depression, it was invented.
Wow, okay.
So it's getting close to 100 years old.
Yeah, look, rules and game systems have gotten a little better since then.
And look, I mean... how many times do we see a roll and move game, that classic sort of mechanic that people associate, that's what a board game is? Very, very few of these modern games have a roll and move mechanic. Just like many, very, very few games have, you know, the miss your turn mechanic, because it's just boring.
Exactly. Misconception number three, video games kill board gaming. False. Utterly false. And in fact, the opposite has happened. Since the rise of video games and the rise of home consoles like your Xboxes and PlayStations, board gaming's actually boomed.
Yeah, well, people are playing Catan and Carcassonne, things like that, on Xbox Live.
And I would actually argue that video gaming is in a bit of a trough right now. Yeah. There's not a lot of innovation going on. People are... it's more like things are going backwards with very simple games on tablets. And I mean, what's the latest exciting new multiplayer world? They're all kind of much the same now, aren't they?
I've lost track. Mm. And you're right. The big thing, particularly on iPads and tablets at the moment, are board game conversions.
Hey, we enjoy video gaming, but it just ain't social the same way board gaming is. All right. Misconception number four: board gaming is for boys only. False.
No, definitely not true. I've met some wonderful women playing board games. We've had Christine in here one time talking to us all about it with her dicey earrings.
I would say that there are more games themed towards boys because publishers think that they can sell more, but more and more that's changing as well because publishers are now prepared to take chances and try to get a different kind of a market with a family-themed idea or something that's going to appeal to everybody.
Yep.
Another misconception, board gaming is just for nerds who should be embarrassed and not speak of it publicly.
Uh-oh, we've gone wrong then, haven't we?
Look, I actually feel quite strongly about this because sometimes I'm talking to people and they just, you know, they just start chuckling or whatever, and I'm like, get over it. We actually live in a nerd culture now, okay? The biggest movies on our screens are superhero movies.
Yep.
The series that everybody's looking forward to this year is Game of Thrones, okay? And look, when someone's maybe heard of Game of Thrones and they've heard it's like Lord of the Rings, but they haven't actually seen it, they're going, not interested, until they watch it and they go, now I understand.
I get it.
Look, It's not entirely the same thing with the hobby, but it's worthwhile. There's substance to it, okay? And there's titles in the board gaming hobby that can cross over into the mainstream.
Yeah, and look, the thing that I've found recently actually is just being a little bit open about talking about games, excuse me, I have discovered five or six people totally unrelated to each other who regularly get together in a small group of friends and play board games.
Yep.
It's definitely an expanding hobby, and it's just a case, I think, of someone being brave enough to get out and talk to these people and say, you're not alone, it's okay, you can come out of the closet.
Next misconception. I'm going to have to learn a lot of rules, aren't I?
Yes.
Yes. maybe you will. But it really depends on how far you want to get into it. And because there's different levels of game. If you don't have to jump right into the deep end straight away. But look, the idea is that the effort should be rewarding. And you'll get out of it what you put into it. And it's also the difference between a good game and a bad game. I think one that's streamlined and easy to teach, even though it maybe is a little bit complicated, but it actually makes sense and has an internal logic.
And look, I think...
But that's a real pleasure to discover something like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And I think... Actually, one of the services that people like you and I can give to the community, and we see it a little bit on the Hogs Facebook page, is being able to guide people in terms of, I've got this group of people, can you recommend one or two games that might work? Being a sort of a game sommelier to recommend a game for a group of people.
Oh, I like that, the game sommelier.
Yeah, I took that from another podcast.
Did
they,
you?
They talk about that, yeah.
Oh, damn.
But I really like that concept, and, you know, very much... Having the right game for the right crowd is what it's all about and will make a night sing.
Okay, I've got two more misconceptions. Yep. One, games are educational.
Yes.
I would argue no.
I learnt all about these railroads in Russia.
All right, true.
And the Cold War.
If you want to accumulate completely useless knowledge, I would argue very, very strongly that games are a complete waste of time, utterly useless, and therefore should be celebrated.
Yeah, entertainment value.
As soon as you just stick the educational stamp on it, people are going to turn away in droves. Mm. You might accidentally learn something.
Yeah.
And it's true, actually, look, if you do get your kids into it early on and you do teach them a little bit about winning and losing and how that's not necessarily... Well, actually, that leads into the next misconception that I have, that games aren't serious and that winning isn't everything. That's not true.
That is not.
I'm going to freaking crush you the next time we play Seven Wonders.
I don't think so. Not in that game anyway.
So that's the misconceptions, but here's maybe some other things that maybe you don't know about gaming. If you are ready to take the plunge, here's some warnings. One, they're expensive.
Yes, definitely.
Two, they get more expensive once you realise they're collectible.
Yes.
Three, there's thousands of them. And four, and look, this is actually just a personal one, and this is actually true of me right now, I'd rather do this than sit down and watch a movie, honestly.
Well, at least you interact, and that's the same with me. The thing that I love about board games is the social interaction.
Hollywood's just producing such complete drac.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Captain America coming out this week at the time that we're recording this, and that's going to be fine, sure, but it's like, do we need another one of those? No, let's go and interact and have a laugh with our
mates. Fantastic. You know what? We could almost be, because we carry on so much, we could almost be televangelists.
Was that a segue?
That's just the name of a song, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station, is changing.
Change? I don't like change.
Don't worry, it's not that kind of change. We're looking for new and exciting voices for the upcoming season of radio, which kicks off in late May. If you've got a new and interesting idea for a radio program, why not submit an application and share your passion with Hobart and the world?
So, what kind of ideas are we talking here?
Well, you could do a general program about your passion. It could be cooking, health, environmental issues, or even a general daytime program. If your thing is music, maybe you could fill a genre void Edge might have. We love all kinds of music here at Edge.
All right, sounds cool.
Yeah, you can get more information and submit an application on the Edge Radio website. edgeradio.org.au. We'll even train you up to be a super awesome broadcaster. But be quick. Applications close on April 21st.
All right, sounds cool. I'll get right on it.
World Domination Program, here I come.
Become a member of Hobart's only youth media organisation. Apply for a program today.
Well, we snuck that one in there. That was Rock Troll by Blood Luxury from their Eyes Cry Blood album.
Mine were doing that while we were playing it.
Yeah, that's right. Before that, we'll talk about what was before that in a minute. And then before that, we had Televangelist by the Messer Reds, a great Tassie band. Now, some of you may have noticed in there, in the promo for the upcoming applications for the winter season of Edge Radio, I'd never heard that before, and I heard a familiar voice say, "So what kind of ideas are we going to be talking about?"
Look, I just came in and voiced it. I just came in and just lent my voice to a promo or two.
Oh, cool. Cool, I'll get right on it. World domination.
Thank you.
Oh, look, I didn't realise we had so much talent in the room, and that's just me, so anyway.
This is the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We're talking board games, and specifically pimping your board games. Yo. What do we actually mean by this?
Yo, pimp your ride.
That's exactly right. Dressing them up, because sometimes the way they come from the factory in China just isn't enough.
Sometimes wooden cubes just don't cut it.
And also, sometimes things come badly organised. Yeah. Or, you know, the little plastic insert tray that comes in the box just doesn't actually fit all the components.
Sometimes.
What were they thinking?
Many, many times.
We've got a few suggestions and a few tips on doing this. If you put in "pimp my board game" into Google, you're going to get all sorts of interesting results.
Mm.
Some of the notable examples: Agricola, which is the farming game. People are making little clay FIMO food. Little chicken legs.
Oh, yeah, and people as well, instead of just the round discs that you use for your workers. Yeah. And actually making families, a mother, a father, two kids.
And fish and carrots and little wood piles, all out of coloured clay. And they look fantastic and represent hours and hours of time that I don't have. Tolkien, the Mayan calendar, a game that's in my collection, which I'm quite fond of, a worker placement game that I actually enjoy, themed on the Mayan ruins, and people give that a bit of dry brushing technique to bring out the relief that's in the big plastic cogs that get turned on that board game that represent the passage of time.
Yeah, look, there's a very obvious one, I guess, is painting miniatures.
Yeah,
but look, if you don't have expert painting, one of the things I did with was actually one of the D&D themed games, Castle Ravenloft.
Oh yes,
it came with the plain plastic miniatures. What I did is
just begging to be painted.
Yeah. Well, I did paint some of them. I'm not a great painter, but D&D also made a huge range of pre-painted plastic miniatures made for role playing. So what I did was found some that were very similar to the characters in the game and replaced them.
It's almost as if they did that deliberately so hardcore gamers would buy them.
Well, the miniatures were actually out first.
But look, short of actually painting your miniatures or if you haven't got that skill, if you haven't got that patience, if you haven't got that time, here's a few simple things that you can do. And look, the first suggestion, and this is one I don't actually do myself, you get the big sheets of cardboard, all right, that have all the counters in them, and you spend a little while punching them out.
Yeah.
Just popping them out, or if you like me, you give them to your daughter to do because she loves it. They always come with little tufts of cardboard, or maybe they slightly tear. Cut those little things off. Just sit there with a pocket knife and just cut those things off.
And even to take it one step further, rounding the edges on your sharp cardboard sheets. They can be really nice to hold them. They've got nice round edges.
Are you going
to
do that with a little bit of light sandpaper, are you?
No, just normally like nail scissors or something like that. They're just much nicer.
Then once you've got all the chits and all the pieces popped out, put them in bags.
Oh, baggies.
Bag them up. Yep. Separate them. Okay, or you can go one step further and get yourself one of the clear plastic boxes. I always forget this word.
The fishing tackle type boxes.
Exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean. Plano boxes. Yes. That's them. Yeah. So you can get them. I think Big W is a really good source of these. They come in all sorts of shapes and sizes and different amounts of little components in them. Craft shops have them as well for beading. They can be really, really handy for sorting out your pieces in different colours and stuff. And it's just a nice tray to be able to hand around the table.
And also this, some of the setup time for those bigger games with multitudes of pieces can be cut right down by those fancy trays.
Yeah. Sleeving your cards. Mm. Now, this is something I don't do, but you're mad keen on the card sleeves.
But the thing is, particularly if you've got a game where you're handling the cards over and over again.
These are clear plastic sleeves that you're playing cards.
And, you know, we're not necessarily talking about your fancy-backed ones that you might use in your card games with the family crest of particular families from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because you can get all sorts of themes for these sleeves.
But even for a game like, say, Love Letter, which only has 16 cards and you're constantly handling the cards, you'll get so much more wear out of your game if you put a simple clear sleeve on.
I just don't like the way they feel.
And also, you get used to it, though.
Also, they bulk up the deck because you've got those extra sheets of plastic.
Yeah.
It makes everything thicker and they're a little bit they're either slippery or tacky.
Or stick, yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously, I've got them. I bought the premium quality sleeves of my Seven Wonders.
It's different chemical.
Yeah, and they're nice and thick and easy to shuffle. Mm. The cards just slide against each other. And in that game where you're passing the cards from hand to hand to hand to hand to hand every turn, I think, you know, my game is going to last a lot longer than one that's constantly being rubbed up against.
We're talking pimping your board games if you want to get right into the hobby. And we were talking earlier about the complexity of rules. That need not be a problem if you get yourself some handy reference sheets.
Oh, yes.
Board Game Geek is the place to go for these if you don't know already. Mm. Go onto the page of your favourite game, scan all the way down to the bottom and have a look at the files that are available for download. In particular, there's one dude in the Board Gaming Geek community who makes the most amazing cheat sheets. He calls himself Universal Head.
Universal Head is amazing.
No idea what his real name is.
You know he's actually Australian.
No way!
He is an Australian, and he's actually gone from, you know, he started producing those sheets. He actually now is working, from what I understand, pretty much full-time in the board game production graphic design world. So he's actually forged a career out of it.
You've just given me a mission. We're getting this guy on the show.
I'm sure he's from Brisbane or somewhere like that. I've seen that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Look, Universal Head, if you're listening, we salute you and your giant head, sir. Particularly your Netrunner cheat sheets, which have been just very, very handy.
But we used them for that pirate game that I can't remember. The Warrior Knights one that you've got, I think, is from him. Mm-hmm. I had his Arkham Horror one. He's got... There are hundreds of them there. It's amazing, and they're brilliant.
Now, if you've got a nice colour photocopier or a colour printer at work, slip a piece of nice stock into there and print it out, or go to Officeworks or something, because it's really, really worthwhile. New inserts for your game. Now, this is going a little bit into...
People that get perhaps a bit carried away with their latest obsession, Trent, would you say that?
That would be me. Yes. I bought a giant sheet of foam core at the aforementioned Officeworks. Foam core, this is two sheets of plastic that sandwich a bit of foam in between. You can slice it up with a hobby knife.
Hardcore foam core.
Make any kind of shape you want out of it, and my cards just fit very nicely.
It does look very nice.
Thank you very much.
And it presents very well. So there's so many ideas there. You know, one theme that I've come across lately a little bit, I've been playing a game with an old friend of mine, an old, old friend of mine, and it's funny, whenever I ask the question, whose turn is it now, no matter how many people seem to be playing the game, you know what he says?
What's that?
It's my turn. Oh, yeah, some of the best 80s drum work there you have get for a while. That is Berlin, a flashback to the 80s with Now It's My Turn, the Aqualite mix.
Well, I'm really glad I wore my parachute pants tonight. So, look, that's about it for us. A reminder that we've got Tabletop Game Days, 12 hours of gaming from noon till midnight at the Lena Valley Community Hall in Hobart, and also the Area 52 Tabletop Day Extravaganza, our two Tassie events for International Tabletop Game Day this Saturday. Look it up on the interwebs if you want to find out more about that. But for now, we're heading out of here and we're going to our own little game night.
We've got something planned, like food and drinks wise?
I don't have any... Well, I wanted to do something different apart from just chips tonight, because I'm just starting to feel a bit, you know, winter's coming on. I don't feel like I want to be in too much of a hurry to eat more carbs late at night.
So, what are your ideas?
Well, I mean, chips and chocolate are the standard. Mm. Is that not good? Well, can we do something different?
It goes where... I mean, we had a bit of experiment the other week with the... what was it called? Biltong? The jerky?
The beef jerky?
Yeah.
Boy, that was a mistake I was paying for a couple of days.
I was going to say, I was quite backed up a bit after that,
actually. Let me tell you. Yeah. We do have one member of our gaming group who occasionally brings freshly baked cookies muffins and slices and things. I'm not sure if she's coming tonight, but see, that's all sugar and... Oh, I'm so fat.
Look, I can't be much help because I'm not much chop in the kitchen.
It's hard to food for a game night.
Yeah.
What do you do? Now, look, okay, here's a topic of discussion because it can't be chicken wings.
No, you can't have anything that's messy. Even you've got to be even careful with things like cheese. If maybe they're just a slightly bit greasy or if your camembert starts to drip... You don't want that in the middle of your Russian railroads.
Grease and oil on your components. That is oil stains on your cardboard. That is never going to come out. You're always going to remember that particular game where that particular stain happened. And equally, you don't want something that's going to spill easily.
Red wine,
the enemy of board games and card games.
Fast food and board games, don't mix. Like, eat your food and then sit down and play a game because... People don't want to smell your fast food while they're trying to make their turn.
Well, that's what we've had to do, actually. We've relegated the food to off the gaming table. So you've actually got to get up and give yourself a break from sitting down because, of course, that's going to kill you.
Yes.
Sitting down for too long. Right? We all know that now. So what is it? Sitting down for a couple of hours every day takes 20 years off your life.
And makes your ass fat.
That too. So... Putting the food on the other side of the room, that might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Look, needless to say, pace yourself with your food. Don't guts it all down at once. This is me reminding myself to do this. Because I did try to bring in a healthy eating rule at the game nights at my place, and I was the first one to break it.
Yeah, hard to get the savoury things with no sugar.
Well, you went on that sugar is poison... Sugar rots your teeth and gives your brain damage diet.
Didn't last long, did it? Didn't last long, unfortunately, because it tastes so damn good.
That's the problem. But then you get the sugar crash later in the day as well. Yeah. So what's the solution? To just eat more sugar?
No. look, I don't know. I really don't. Maybe we should find some people who really love cooking for other people and invite them over to give us their food.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. If you know anyone like that, give us a yell.
You know, I have found one solution. Grapes.
Oh, that's quite good. Although they are full of sugar, but it's all natural.
It's fructose.
It's all natural.
It's natural fructose.
Yeah, it's all natural.
That's got to be all right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't tell me the grapes are going to kill me.
No. Well, unless you fall in a vat of them or you eat 50 million, perhaps.
The other solution I've come up with lately is just chewing gum. So your mouth...
Imagine if you get gum on a... Board game.
But that's only if you're blowing bubbles like a...
That's a recipe for disaster.
No, it stays in your mouth, and it's also a good prop. You know, it looks like you're constantly thinking, and you look cool like the Fonz.
Right. Okay. Look, on that note, I think we should get out of here. We might even buy some food on the way. But look, you've been great. We've been
Thank
the Dice
you.
Men
Thank
Cometh.
You, yes.
No, not you. Oh. The listener out there. We've enjoyed being with you again for another Wednesday. We'll be back next Wednesday. We're probably going to send in an application that dorky guy did the ad for renewing for another season. So, look, we'd love to hear your ideas. If you've got things that you want us to talk about, hit us up on the Facebook page. We know some of you have ideas.
If you don't want us to apply for another season, let us know. We'll stop.
We'll stop.
We'll get our Wednesdays back.
And the other thing is... New podcasts coming very soon.
Yeah. Look, all those technical issues with the podcasts and the restreams have, I believe, been sorted now. We're not quite counting our chickens.
When I checked yesterday, the last three episodes are up to listen to on the Edge Radio website.
All right. Our apologies for that delay. It was quite literally technical issues out of our control, but we believe it's been resolved.
Anyway, enjoy your week. Get in plenty of games. Come along to the International Tabletop Day with us on Saturday at the Lenner Valley Community Hall, starting midday, going to midnight, gold tour donation. We'd love to see you. Have a great night and a great gaming week.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.